Welcome and Shabbat blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening on other devices and later on recording, Shabbat blessing everyone on this beautiful sunny Sabbath on my neck of the woods. I hope you haven't fear weather wherever you may be. This is our part two review of our chapter 77 entitled In Pilate's Judgment Hall. This is our part 10 on this August 26, 2023 of our lesson 389. We are going to ask our dear brother to bless us once more with the tiny thought, teeny song, Hark to the Shepherd Voice I Hear.
Hark to the Shepherd's Voice I Hear. Out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep of God astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Oh, go and help the shepherd kind, help him the wandering ones to find. Oh, bring them back into the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the cold. Bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Out in the desert hear their cry, out on the mountain wild and high. Hark, 'tis the Master speaks to thee, go find my sheep wherever they be. Bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. If any ones of the little ones in your household would like to be able to start the review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Have a blessing, everybody. You God for this. Thank you, God, for this Sabbath day. Thank you for the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This day is done by labor on the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord. You can text me. You can text him. You can text Daddy. You can the Sabbath day. This is how the Sabbath works that we're about to learn. And you can pray, amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you so much, dear little ones. We are going to hear all the blessings that the little one has been in their household for their mommy, daddy, family members, or even their neighbors or anyone in contact with them. If you would like to share, dear ones, maybe unmute your mic to do so.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. I just wanted to share how a lesson was used to be a blessing amongst my daughters. Recently, Haley and Emma were playing together, and they had Haley figured out how to do something, but she didn't share how to do it with her little sister, and so they had a little squabble between themselves, so I was listening for a little while, and then I said, okay, come to Emma, let me go ahead and help you. And when I helped her, what I had done was more liked by what Haley had done. And so Haley wanted to me to do it to her, but in order to help her to see how it feels when she's not being a good helper, I told her that I would not. And then I gave her the lesson, treat others as how you want to be treated. And so from that, she's able to be a little bit more conscious of how to treat others as how she wants to be treated. And it wasn't just a lesson for Haley, but for them both. Day by day, I always teach them to be each other's best friends, to be each other's protector, to always look out for each other, and not just for them, but for those that are around them, so that they can be good lights, be beacons around their groups that they're in individually. And so that lesson was a little bit harsh for her to learn, but it was also a blessing on how she will be able to move forward with her sister and those that are around her. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there any other member of our remnant family would like to share what they have been able to experience with the little ones? May you unmute your mic. We are going to continue. We do have another section in case that virgins are not coming in on time that they can be able to share. Welcome to all the precious family that are just joining us. This is the story time section of a story about Jesus, chapter 14. Take these thing hands, which is our new chapter, and our dear brother will review it with thee.
All right. The Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 45, 6 and 7. And John 2:16. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. Yeah, that's bad. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise. Get the stuff out of here is what he's saying. Next slide, please. The next day, Jesus entered the temple. 3 years before, he had found men buying and selling in the outer court and had rebuked them and driven them out. Now, as he came again to the temple, he found the same traffic still carried on. The court was filled with cattle, sheep, and birds. These were sold to those who wished to offer sacrifice for their sins. Exhortation. Or teaching. That's overcharging. And robbery were practiced by those engaged in this traffic. So great was the babble of sound, lots of voices, lots of animal noises, from the court that it seriously disturbed the worshipers within. Christ stood on the steps of the temple, and again his piercing gaze swept over the court. All eyes were turned toward him. The voice of the people and the noise of the cattle was hushed. That had to have been by divine order that the animals all kept still, because animals don't usually stop making noise just because somebody shows up. All looked with astonishment and awe upon the face, upon the Son of God. Next slide, please. The divine flashed through the human and gave Jesus a dignity and glory he had never manifested before. He'd never shown it. The silence became almost unbearable. At last, he said in clear tones and with a power that swayed the people like a mighty tempest, "It is written, my house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." With still greater authority than he had manifest 3 years before, he commanded, "Take these things hence, or get this stuff out of here." Story of Jesus, pages 89 and 90.
Amen. So next week, we will continue with part two of our new lesson entitled, "Take These Things Hence," in a tiny thought lesson book, The Story About Jesus, and that will take place September 2nd. By God's grace. Now I'm going to hand it back to our dear brother to review the little question.
In the review questions, what type of animals was the court filled with?
With cattle, sheep, and birds.
Cattle, cows, sheep, and birds. The various offerings that people were required to offer for various sins were different, and that's why they had those different types of animals in there to be offered. What did Jesus state? It is written in the scriptures.
My house is my house of prayer.
My house is the house of prayer. That's what this temple was for people to go and pray and to confess their sins. And here they had a cattle market in the outer court of the temple. And that was dishonoring to God. What did Jesus command them to in the outer court?
The answer is take these hints.
Take these things hence. Get these things out of here. Now, just anybody couldn't have said that and had any influence. If anybody else had gotten up and said that, the people just laughed at him. But Jesus had a divine presence in his person at that time that nobody could deny. And when he gave a command, they did it. Thank you for listening and taking part.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's time for us to review also the precious lesson in God creation through nature, our 43rd of our water topic, the water of life, and our dear brother will be able to share.
So blessings, everyone. And here's today's nature lessons concerning water. The Law of Life, part 43 review. Our Bible verse is taken from the book of John chapter 1, King James Version. In lesson 12, Peter, John, and other disciples. And the verses are 43 to 46, and they say, "The day following, Jesus will go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? But saith unto him, Come and see. research, follow me. The day following, Jesus will go forth into Galilee and find Philip and said to him, follow me. Philip obeyed the command, and straightway he also became a worker for Christ. Philip called Nathanael. The latter had been among the throng when the Baptist pointed to Jesus as the Lamb of God. As Nathanael looked upon Jesus, he was disappointed. Could this man who bore the marks of toil and poverty be the Messiah? Yet Nathanael could not decide to reject Jesus, for the message of John had brought conviction to his heart. At the time when Philip called, Nathanael had withdrawn to a quiet grove to meditate upon the announcement of John and the prophecies concerning the Messiah. He prayed that if the one announced by John was the deliverer, it might be made known to him, and the Holy Spirit rested upon him with assurance that God had visited his people and raised up a horn of salvation for them. Philip knew that his friend was searching the prophecies, and while Nathanael was praying under a fig tree, Philip discovered his retreat. They had often prayed together in this secluded spot hidden by the foliage. The message we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write seemed to Nathanael a direct answer to his prayer. But Philip had yet a trembling faith. He added doubtfully, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Again, prejudice arose in Nathanael's heart. He exclaimed, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? The Desire of Ages, page is 139 to 140. Philip answered, come and see. John 1:46. And below is a picture of Philip and Nathanael. And on the right, beneath this picture of a beach, each with crabs, seashells, a heron flying over the ocean in the sky, and even a sailboat in the distance. It says, the great ocean obeys God's commands as the disciples obey the call to follow Jesus and help them. Here are the three groups of marine life. The three groups of marine life are plankton, nekton, and benthos. The aquatic life in the ocean is divided based on where an organism lives and how it moves. On the right is a little grid showing what the groups of marine life there are. On the left is the plankton, the middle, the nekton, and on the right, the benthos. It says in the bottom, and thanks to the description through these pictures, one, plankton. These very small plankton-like animals drift with the ocean current. And these remind us of the disciples before they were called, just drifting along unnoticed among the sea of people. Two, nekton. These are animals that can swim here and there in the sea. Nekton remind us of the disciples after they were called, going where they could be most helpful. Three, benthos. These are animals or plants that live on the floor of the ocean. Benthos remind us how the disciples helped others get their needs met. Blessed are the pure heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5:8, King James Version. The attention required in transplanting that not even a foot root fiber shall be crowded or misplaced, the care of the young plants, the pruning and watering, the shielding from frost at night and sun by day, keeping out weeds, disease, and insect pests, the training and arranging, not only teach important lessons concerning the development of character, but the work itself as a means of development. In cultivating carefulness, patience, attention to detail, obedience to law, it imparts a most essential training. Child, Child Guidance, page 56, paragraph 2, is my father's good pleasure that ye bear much fruit. The heart is to be guarded. The seed plot is to be weeded of its weeds, of vanity, and every circumstance in life is to be arranged that it shall not shut heaven from our view. The lessons of Christ are to plant precious seeds of truth in the soil of the heart, that the yield may be a hundredfold of rich, precious fruit unto eternal life. MS. Manuscript Beliefs, Volume 2, page 45, 1890. Continual reference reading for the WAR topic of our Tiny Talks Lesson Review. Chapter 14, We Have Found the Messiah, Part 3. At the time when Philip called him, Nathanael had withdrawn to a quiet grove to meditate upon the announcement of John and the prophecies concerning the Messiah. He prayed that the one announced by John was the deliverer, he might be made known to him, and the Holy Spirit rested upon him that, and with assurance that God had visited his people and raised up a horn of salvation for them. Philip knew that his friend was searching the prophecies, and while Nathanael was praying under a fig tree, Philip discovered his retreat. They had often prayed together in this secluded spot hidden by the foliage. The message, we have found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, seemed to Nathanael a direct answer to his prayer. But Philip had yet a trembling faith. He added doubtfully, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Again, prejudice arose in Nathanael's heart. He exclaimed, can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip entered into no controversy. He said, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. In surprise, Nathanael exclaimed, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said to him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. It was enough. The divine spirit that had borne witness to Nathanael in his solitary prayer under the fig tree now spoke to him in the words of Jesus. Though in doubt and yielding somewhat to prejudice, Nathanael had come to Christ with an honest desire for truth, and now his desire was met. His faith went beyond that of the one who had brought him to Jesus. He answered and said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. If Nathanael had trusted to the rabbis for guidance, he would never have found Jesus. It was by seeing the judge for himself that he became a disciple. So in the case of many today whom prejudice withholds from good, how different would be the result that they would come and see? And our three bonus questions I review. One, whom did Jesus call next? You can find the answer in John 1:43. Two, whom did Phil find and tell about Jesus? Find the answer in John 1:45. Three, how did Nathanael respond? What did Philip say? You can find the answers in John 1:46. And I'll turn the lesson back to Mel.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I remember, little ones, all the pictures that you have seen are just the example. And we pray by God's grace that you may sit with your dear family and discuss the lessons that you have just learned. And to everyone, bring them in, bring the wonder ones to Jesus. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining in. Our opening song to our theme is a hymn entitled, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. You can also find it in the hymn book in number 290. And if you'd like to be able to share the hymn with us, dear ones, you may unmute your mic to do so. Oh, soul of you weary and troubled, No light in the darkness you see. There's no light for all who come, the Savior. A life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful faith. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. O'er us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. And go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear ones. If any one of the little ones and the elder siblings, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to start with prayer to our review section of our family, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Father, bless you, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for this morning. And please protect us. Please protect me and please protect mommy. And please protect this Sabbath day. Keep it holy. And please protect the word that I'm about to learn. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening scripture to our review lesson to our theme is taken from the scripture, Sing a Song Memory Verse CD. In this section, Promises, the scripture is Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6 from the King James.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? We will take a few minutes to be able to reread our part one of our lesson, part 10 of In Pilate's Judgment Hall, in our study book, The Desire of Ages. If anyone would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones, may you unmute your mic.
Desire of Ages, page 736. The Roman governor, though familiar with cruel scenes, was moved with sympathy for the suffering prisoner, who, condemned and scourged, with bleeding brow and lacerated back, still had the bearing of a king upon his throne. But the priests declared, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Desire of Ages, page 736, paragraph 2.
Desire of Ages. Oh, I can't see. The Desire of Ages.
Desire of Ages.
736.
736.
Paragraph 3.
Paragraph 3.
Pilate.
Pilate.
Was startled. Was startled.
Was startled.
He had no.
He had no.
Correct.
Correct.
Idea.
Idea.
Good. Of Christ.
Of Christ.
And. His.
His.
Mission.
His mission.
Good. But he.
But he.
Had.
Had.
An.
And.
And distinct.
And distinct.
Faith.
Faith.
In God.
In God.
And.
In
beings.
In beings.
Superior.
Superior.
To.
To.
Humanity.
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 Good job, Chrissy. A thought.
Yes, thought.
A thought.
A thought.
That.
That.
Had.
Had.
Once.
Once.
Before.
Before.
Passed.
Passed.
Through.
Through.
His mind.
His mind.
Now.
Now.
Took more.
Took more.
Defiant.
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 Shape.
Shape.
He. Questioned.
Questioned.
Whether it.
Whether it.
Might not.
Might not.
Be a.
Be a.
Divine.
Divine.
Being.
Being.
That stood.
That stood.
Before him.
Before.
Before him.
Before.
What? Clay.
Clay.
In.
In.
The purple.
The purple.
Robe.
Robe.
Of mockery.
Of mockery.
And.
And.
Crowned.
Crowned.
With thorns.
With thorns.
Good job, Chrissy. I know.
The Desire of Ages, page 736. Again he went into the judgment hall and said to Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. The Savior had spoken freely to Pilate, explaining his own mission as a witness to the truth. Pilate had disregarded the light. He had abused the high office of judge by yielding his principles and authority to the demands of the mob. Jesus had no further light for him. Vexed at his silence, Pilate said haughtily, Desire of Ages, page 736, paragraph 4.
Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Desire of Ages, page 736, paragraph 5. Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above." Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Desire of Ages, page 736, paragraph 6.
Continuing the reading. Thus the pitying Savior, in the midst of his intense suffering and grief, excused as far as possible the act of the Roman governor who gave him up to be crucified. What a scene was this to hand down to the world for all time. What a light it sheds upon the character of him who is the judge of all the earth. The Desire of Ages, page 736, paragraph 7.
He that delivered me unto thee, said Jesus, hath the greater sin. Hold on, let me turn the fan off. But by this, Christ meant Caiaphas, who, as high priest, represented the Jewish nation. They knew the principles that controlled the Roman authorities. They had light in the prophecies that testified of Christ and in his own teachings and miracles. The Jewish judges had received unmistakable evidence of the divinity of him whom they condemned to death. And according to their light, would they be judged?
Have a blessing, everyone. Continue the reading. Desire Ages 737. The greatest guilt and heaviest responsibility belong to those who stood in the highest places in the nation.
That's too long, we're gonna have to go close.
Sorry about that.
I'm gonna start from the beginning.
The greatest guilt and heaviest responsibility belong to those who stood in the highest place in the nation. The depositories of the sacred truth, that they were basically betraying Pilate, Herod, and the Roman soldier, was comparatively ignorant of Jesus. Next slide, please.
Continuing, they thought to please the priests and rulers by abusing him. They had not the light which the Jewish nation had so abundantly received. Had the light been given to the soldiers, they would not have treated Christ as cruelly as they did. Desire of Ages, page 737, paragraph 2.
Again, Pilate proposed to release the Savior. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Thus these hypocrites pretended to be jealous for the authority of Caesar. Of all the opponents of the rule of the Roman rule, the Jews were most bitter. When it was safe for them to do so, next slide, please. Continuing, they were most tyrannical in enforcing their own national and religious requirements. But when they desired to bring about some purpose of cruelty, they exalted the power of Caesar. To accomplish the destruction of Christ, they would profess royalty to the foreign rule that they hated. Mm-mm-mm. Desire of Ages 737, paragraph 3.
And good job, everyone. Let's learn our review section quote. It's taken from 1 Peter 3:15. It's also a memory verse song. But sanctified, O Lord God, in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man. that ask you for reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So what have we learned and ways we have grown? We are going to reread the sixth question that we have held from our part one of our study. And if you would like to participate, dear ones, you can be able to either place it in the text chat or you can pick up your mic to share. For those that are listening in other devices and cannot see the screen, the first one is, who is the main characters or character? Number two is, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number three, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And number six, what did you learn from this lesson? Who would like to take number one, dear one?
Who is the main character or characters? Pilate, Caiaphas, the people, I believe it's the Jews and all the people that were involved with the judgment of Jesus.
The answer to number two, what is the main idea for this section of our story? The main idea is we see that Christ is here on trial and is about to be given up to be crucified, but we see that he did not retaliate or react in an unkind way, even though he was being falsely accused and persecuted. And it stands as an example of how we are supposed to be when we are tempted and tried.
Where did the story take place? I believe it took place in the judgment hall of Pilate.
The answer to question four, when did the story begin? The Roman governor having sympathy for the prisoner.
Are we on number five? How could you relate to the story? I could relate to the story because, and I think most of us can, because when we are falsely accused, we want to retaliate or get some type of vengeance. Just so that the people who are falsely accusing us can feel what we're feeling. So, but instead, the Lord is saying, vengeance is his. So he is not wanting us to retaliate. He wants us to cast our cares on him and trust that he will take care of the situation. But knowing also that if we say that we are going to be children and followers of Jesus, that we need to know and understand that we too will go through the same things that Jesus did. Number six is, what did you learn from this lesson? In my personal life, I learned that sometimes it's best just to be quiet or simply walk away. And again, to allow the Lord to take care of the situation. Keep those who are falsely accusing us in prayer, because clearly they don't know what they are saying. Because if they did, they wouldn't be saying it. If they had a more understanding of who you are as a person, then they would not be saying the things that they were saying against you. So just so it's more so just to keep them in prayer because their salvation is at stake as well. And they don't know that they're being used by the devil. And for us just to know that we'll find peace as we rest in his arms, knowing that he will take care of us and the situation at hand.
I learned that Jesus was both, was being both truthful and meek and also submissive through the whole conflict. He was trying to inform Pilate about his true intent and how even giving in again the truth about God and his intention for Pilate that the Roman governor would understand, but he already gave in to his position and also won't want his wants to satisfy the crowd, so there won't be no chaos throughout the land.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If anybody else would like to share what they have learned, very thankful. Praise the Lord, dear ones. What I can be able to share for number six, it was an observation that I did see. Here they have our Savior as an example for those that was able to see the picture. Not necessarily our Savior, but just an example of what was happening at the time. He was bound, yet the one that was bound was really free. And here the one that was free, which is in the pilot position or any one of the officials that was in authority, was really bound. And the long suffering that the Lord had, that even with this experience, it was granting the Gentiles a way of salvation. What the people that had the depository of the words and the prophecy did not get to reach them, but here the Lord went all the way, even in the time that he was afflicted, to shed a light of what truth was. And that is just showing the mercy that the Lord will do to save every soul to the uttermost. That's what I have seen and observed. Is there anybody else that would like to share? Otherwise, we are going to continue. We are sharing thoughts, favorite poems, and music just as well. This thought is taken from the Spirit of Prophecy book entitled, which is a lesson for the youth, Christ Object Lesson in Chapter 25. The title is Talent in the Section Strength. Pages 348, paragraph 3 through 349, paragraph 2. Margin, and the topic of our thought is the scripture in Isaiah 66, verse 2, and it reads, "For all those things have my hand made, and all those things have been, said the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembled at my word." This also can be taken from the devotion, Jesus' Name Above All Name, in the title of Heavenly Architect, in page 224, paragraph 1 through 224, paragraph 6. Who would like to take the first section, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
We are to love God not only with all the heart, mind, and soul, but with all the strength. This covers the full intelligent use of the physical powers. And I think this is Christ Object Lesson, page 348, paragraph 3. Thank you.
Blessed Sabbath, everyone. Continuing. Christ was a true worker in temporal as well as in spiritual things. And into all his work, he brought a determination to do his Father's will. The things of heaven and earth are more closely connected and are more directly under supervision of Christ than many realize. It was Christ who planned the arrangement for the first earthly tabernacle. He gave every specification in regard to the building of Solomon's temple. The one who in his earthly life worked as a carpenter in the village of Nazareth was the heavenly architect who marked out the plan for the sacred building where his name was to be honored.
It was Christ who gave to the builders of the tabernacle wisdom to execute the most skillful and beautiful workmanship. He said, "See, I have called by a name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee." Exodus 31, 2-6. Christ's Object Lesson, page 349, paragraph 1.
God desires that his workers in every line shall look to him as the giver of all they possess. All right inventions and improvements have their source in him who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. The skillful touch of the physician's hand, his power over nerve and muscle, his knowledge of the delicate organism of the body, is the wisdom of divine power to be used in behalf of the suffering. The skill with which the carpenter uses the hammer, the strength with which the blacksmith makes the anvil ring, comes from God. He has entrusted men with talents, and he expects them to look to him for counsel. Whatever we do, in whatever department of the work we are placed, he desires to control our minds that we may do perfect work. From Christ's Object Lessons, page 349, paragraph 2.
Further reflection. How do I love God with my physical powers as I go about today's activities? Given in page 224, paragraph 6. Jesus' name all above all names.
Amen. Our poem is entitled "Follow Me." It's taken from Children Activity Book Year 2, Quarter 3, Lesson 12, from page 341, from the Sunlight Education Ministry of Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Long ago, in old Judea, by the shores of Galilee, Jesus spake unto the fishers, "Leave your nets and follow me."
Number 2, 7-11. Little children, hear the story, leading through the ages then. Who of you will leave your pleasures take your cross and follow me.
Number 3. Now no more is old Judea. Jesus walking by the sea. What do you call it? Ever call it? Who will come and follow me?
Number 4, come to Jesus, time might tarnish, many a dreams of beauty fair, what he offers faded never, life eternal over there.
Number 5, over there beyond death's billows, eyes of faith can plainly see, the bright mansions where he promised all his followers should be.
Number 6. Children, listen to the story, pealing through the ages dim. Jesus loves you, died to save you. Give up all and follow him.
Our special music is a scripture song with a little margin. Take up his cross and follow me. Taken from Matthew 16:24 from the King James Version. Then Jesus said unto his disciple, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. To a life eternally. Deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow Jesus. He is the way, true and light. If you have any testimony that you would like to be able to share, dear ones, may you unmute your mic to do so. Well, we are going to continue. We have the rest of the studies, and later you can be able to share the testimony if you have one. This week, by God's grace, dear ones, we are going to have part 11 of our lesson entitled In Pilate's Judgment Hall in our study book, Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear brethren, mothers, daddies, or even our guests would like to close our family review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads on our knees. Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Father Jesus, we thank you for giving us another beautiful Saturday, Father. We thank you for life, and we thank you for all the beautiful things that you have given us. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for your great sacrifice. Thank you for all the participation of all the little ones and their parents, Father. As we move forward into the next session of the study, we pray for your blessing, bless the speaker, and be with us for the rest of the Sabbath day. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
Jesus bless you. Amen. Thank you so much, dear sisters. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, that will be lesson 390 from our chapter 77 entitled In Pilate's Judgment Hall, part 11. And that will take place, dear ones, September the 2nd, 2023. We are going to share the beautiful garden of our dear sister, Joan. And just a minute. This one is a dahlia. I hope I got the right pronunciation. And we're praying for our dear sister that she will fully recover, and we miss her and we love her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So enjoy your nature walk, dear ones. And remember the quote and also the scripture. Psalms 34:7. The angel of the Lord encamp around and about them that fear him and deliver them. And from the Desired Ages, page 240, paragraph 3, margin. So in all ages, angels have been near to Christ's faithful followers. The vast confederacy of evil is arrayed against all who will overcome. But Christ will have us look to the things which are not seen, to the armies of heavenly encamp about all who love God, to deliver them from what dangers, seen and unseen, we have been preserved through the interposition of the angels. We shall never know until in the light of eternity we see the providence of God. And we had really seen it this week, dear ones. The Lord had protected many of our brethren that go through different difficulties with weathering and protecting their homes and their families. And I thank God for that. May you all have a wonderful, blessed rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. God bless.